Today is Vocation Awareness Sunday, and I think a lot of people tune that out because they feel that this is a day when we talk about becoming a priest or a nun. But of course, vocation is just the word from vocare, the Latin word that means to call. It's a calling from God. It's what each of us are called to, whether we've already chosen our vocation or have not. We're called to one of those vocations. And these days of vocations remind me of my friend, Brother Jerome. Now, one of my favorite places in the world is Norcia, Italy. And up there is the birthplace of Saint Benedict. And in this picturesque town, they have his basilica, and beneath that, the house where he was born. And they have a monastery, which has been there for almost 1,500 years. But in its most recent refoundation, it's a large number of Americans because they have an American abbot, but they have brothers from all over the world, and the average age is about 35. So it's a young, vibrant community of Benedictines living out the rule of Saint Benedict in the world. But Brother Jerome was a guy from Texas, a little bit younger than me. And I met him because I would go up to stay for weekends in Norcia, and he was the guest master, the one who would take you and show you your room and help you get settled. And he was such an entertaining guy to talk to that one time when he showed me my room after I had come a couple of times, I asked him if he wanted to sit down and have a beer with me, and he gladly did there in my room. So we were sitting and having a beer, and I was asking him about his life, how he came to go from Abilene, Texas, or something like that, somewhere in Texas, and then came to Norcia, Italy. And he told me that he'd always loved brewing beer, and that was what he wanted to do with his life. But he also felt this deep calling to be a monk. And so he visited Norcia in order to just go on retreat and figure out if maybe God was calling him to something else. And he so fell in love with that town of Norcia and with that monastery that he never went back. He joined the monks from that retreat, and he stayed there, knowing that he had given up forever his dream of brewing beer. About 2 years into his time in the monastery, the monks were trying to find a way to raise money. Now, some monks, like in Berryville, do make fruitcakes and have honey. Other places, they do sacramental wine. Other places keep farm animals and sort of do farming, some roast coffee. Well, they decided, without him having any input, that they were going to brew beer. So here God was giving him back the thing that he thought he had given up, and that he had gladly given up. And since that time, he's been in charge of their little beer operation. And it's some of the finest in all of Europe, really. It's gone all over the world. So God is never outdone in generosity. And Brother Jerome is somebody I think of when I imagine that. So we're speaking to everybody. And we're talking about what God's calling us to. I think the most profound call in the Bible comes from Samuel, who was laying in his room near the temple and suddenly heard the voice of God. And it took him a few times, but eventually he asked the question and made the request, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that was as he was a very young man. His life then took him all over Judea. And he became one of the central figures in history, living out an adventure of following God, just by listening that one time. From that point, he listened to God his whole life, and he followed him wherever he called. He encountered kings and changed kingdoms. He predicted wars and help those kings to build the kingdom of Israel into the place that would give birth to our Savior. He changed the world, and this is something that all young people in their hearts want to do. None of us think that we're called to live mediocre and dull lives. No, we're called to change the world, and that's what Samuel did. The way to change the world in a positive way is to listen to the voice of God. And we have more ways to listen to God than Samuel did. Because we've had Jesus that came in the flesh, not only to tell us how to change the world, but to show us. To show us what it is to sacrifice for others and to make your life one that gives out everything to those around you. And then in a paradox, you actually become more full than you ever were before. So through Jesus, we also have access to prayer. We have access to the sacraments, to having Him dwell within us in the Eucharist, and to having our sins forgiven and our ability to hear God cleared through confession. And that gives us the freedom to answer the call. Now, freedom is one of the things that God calls us to, but it's one of the things that's misunderstood and causes us not to be able to live the life that we're called to lead. So many of the people in my generation and younger, I think, see that freedom is the ability to choose. And at its initial point, yes, that's true. But then the choice has to be made. We have a society that is this delayed adolescence. And we feel like the only freedom way we have freedom is to keep all of our options open for as long as possible. But real freedom is being able to make one of those choices and then live the way God's calling us to live. If we never make a choice, then not only do we not keep our options open, but all the options end up closing to us. Real freedom is being able to do good, to be able to do what God's calling us to do. Because when we sin, we know that we get into the habit of sin, and we become slaves to that sin. Freedom is being able to run with God towards glory. And we do that by making a choice in our lives to follow Him. And the most fundamental choice is the choice of our vocation. If not, we end up being sad, mediocre people that never made a choice, and therefore are left with very few options. Brother Jerome made his decision when he was a teenager. And his friends thought he was crazy, that he would close off all these other options in order to choose this one. And yet, he would never have it any other way. Over 10 years later, he's one of the happiest people I know. And he has a true freedom. Many of my friends from college still have never made any choices and still go out to the same clubs and bars we were going to when we were in college. And it's pathetic. It's sad. And they've never really been able to make a choice for the good because they've never known what true freedom is, the freedom to follow God. Some of them have just never encountered God. It was never given to them by their parents. Others have chosen to walk away from Him and live a life of dissipation that leaves them empty and sad people. Brother Jerome goes to bed every night at 8 o'clock at night and wakes up at 3:15 in the morning to pray. And yet here's a man who considers himself absolutely free. He chose God in freedom, and God continues to bless his life day to day. And that goes for families, too. Whatever choice we make in life, we have to start in the family. So it's not just being priests and nuns, but also raising holy families that we're looking for. That's where the seed of the vocation to the religious life or the priesthood is grown. The mother in the day's first reading would rather see her children die than deny God. And they're all in heaven now. They knew that choosing God was a choice in freedom. And even though there was a sacrifice to be made, she would rather see that sacrifice made than to see her sons be condemned. So we need holy families. We need young men to choose the priesthood. We need young women to choose the religious life. And then, in doing that, we're choosing that full freedom and that fullness of life. There's sacrifices in every single one of these vocations. Certainly married life has a whole share of sacrifices that have to be made, but also many joys. It's the same in priesthood. In priesthood, I may go to sleep and wake up in an empty bed, but my life is very full. Through my not having my own family, I'm free to love everyone in my parish and in the church in an individual and full way, because I've not committed to any one person. Although I gave up having children, I have more children than I can count. Because being a spiritual father is a very real thing when you don't have children of your own. My life is committed to the gospel, to bringing it to each person in my parish and in the church. The same thing for religious sisters who become mothers to an entire church. These sacrifices are sacrifices worth making because you can watch the church on earth, walking towards the church in heaven and bringing the communion of saints more and more members on a daily basis. This is something that gives us a full life, that gives us the freedom to do the things that we're being called to do by Christ. So, far from being a restrictive vocation, the priesthood and the religious life opens us up to everybody, so that everybody can be in our family. So, the call of the vocation, which is really redundant because the vocation is a call, that calling from God is a call to reject sadness, to reject mediocrity, and to be the full person that you were called to be from the beginning of the world, long before you were ever born. This is especially true for young people. Brother Jerome in Norcia is still there, and you may have heard of the earthquakes in Italy. It completely destroyed his monastery and his brewery, and now he's living in a tent, and their little chapel is a tent too, because the place was completely demolished. And it's going to take years to rebuild. And it'll be maybe a decade or more before they brew beer again, unfortunately. And yet, I talked to him the other day, and he's just as happy as when he was there in the brewery and greeting guests and living in his own room. And the reason is because it doesn't matter what he's doing or where he's living. As long as he's living in the house of the Lord, and as long as he's doing the will of God, then he lives out his true freedom. He lives out happiness. He lives out the way that God is calling him to live. And that's where we find true happiness.